Reverend Dr. Ohuniba Enyani Bodum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyani Bodum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyani Bodum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word, which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr. Ohuniba.
Amen. Glory be to God. Lift up your right hand. Spirit divine. Spirit divine. Spirit of Daddy, we are gathered here again, sons and daughters, at our Father's house. We receive every portion of goods that pertain to us in Jesus' heavenly, mighty, and matchless name. We pray. Amen. Today I conclude the series on I Am My Father's Child. And so this part two, say part two. And I'm speaking on the sub theme, what's happening to my child? Say, what's happening to me? God is asking a question. What's happening to my child? Children are supposed to grow. Children. Every child is supposed to grow. Every child is supposed to grow. And when a parent has a baby who he is feeding all right with milk, but for some strange reason unknown to the father or the mother, the child decides not to grow, then the next line of action is to take that baby to a medical facility and begin to investigate why the child is not growing. And when you get into the hospital, you realize that they will subject you to all kinds of tests, give you injections, put you on tables in an awkward positions. In fact, the things that will be done to you at the health facility, if you tried to grow, it would have been better for you. What's happening to my child? It's what God is asking. We are children of the Most High God, and we are privileged to be sons and daughters of God, not just by name, but by a proper contract called adoption. We have become the children of God. Now, our roles as children cannot be disregarded because it comes with certain special privileges or benefits that you can't simply choose to ignore. But for centuries, God's children have lived as nobodies, little Mr. Nobody, like strangers, refugees, and servants in their father's house. I explained last week that according to the foreknowledge of God, you and I were chosen to be a part of a group of people, even before they were born. For scripture says in the book of Romans chapter number 9, that even so, when Rebekah was pregnant by our father Isaac, the children not yet being born, not knowing good from evil, the Bible says that God said, the older shall serve the younger. For it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau I have hated. And I explained that God merely chose to be associated with Jacob. He just chose to take sides with Jacob. Why? Because the forensic evidence of God's foreknowledge proved to him that Jacob was going to submit to the counsel of God easily than Esau would. The same thing is said of King Pharaoh in Exodus chapter number 4. The Bible says that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. I just want to show you that scripture before I preach. I think it's just give me 1 second. Verse 21. Exodus 4, verse number 21.
And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand.
Hold on. Read Exodus 3 first. Otherwise, they will not understand. Exodus 3, verse 19.
Exodus 3, 19.
And 20.
But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders which I do in its midst, and after that he will let you go.
So now, you hear what God said. He's telling Moses, he says, I am sure that Pharaoh will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. How did God know this? His foreknowledge. God is omniscient. It means he's all-knowing. God knows what you will do in the next 20 years. There is nothing you will do that will surprise God. There is nothing. I said here last time, it may shake your theology, but those who are going to be saved, God knows them. And those who are going to hell, God knows them. He knows it. Now, those who have been marked by God as part of the chosen, we are going to win those souls. But there are some people, there is nothing you are going to do in this earth that will cause them to convert. That is how they are. That's not how God made them. That is what they have chosen to be. If those people decide to repent, God knew, or he knows already in his foreknowledge, that guy later he will repent. He knows. So it is such a privilege for you to be a child of God. Because there are people, irrespective of the proliferation of gospel media, they will still go to hell. So you are blessed. Hallelujah. You are blessed. And Paul came in Romans 8, 29. I'm just refreshing you. That for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. You are walking in a conformation time zone. You are, every day you are looking more like Jesus. How is that possible? Because you are growing. You are growing. If you check your life after a couple, I said one day when I was young that if within a week there is no progress in your life, then there is no difference between you and the person at a widow man. You should grow. Children grow. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So God is saying something that he says in the verse number 19, he said, but Pharaoh would not let you go. Not even. He said, I am sure. When God says, I am sure. It's not a man. This is God. He says, but I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So God knew that irrespective of all the miracles he was going to do, Pharaoh was not going to let them go. So in Exodus chapter 4, verse number 21, the Bible now says that what?
And I will give this people...
Go to 21. Exodus 4, 21.
Exodus 4, 21. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go.
Now, if you read this and you don't understand scripture, you will think that God purposefully hardened the heart of Pharaoh. I think it's Romans chapter number 9, verse 17, that speaks about Paul was talking of Pharaoh, that God said, I have created him for my glory. Now, God did not specifically make Pharaoh for his glory. God has, all this life, God has played it already. And he knows what you are going to do. So in his foreknowledge, he saw that Pharaoh was going to harden himself. Pharaoh hardened his own heart that he will not let the people of God go. This is God saying, I am sure that even by a mighty hand, he will not let you go. So I'm going to take advantage of that, his situation, his lifestyle, his choice, and I will use it to glorify myself. So God is never biased. God will use what you are going to do. Hallelujah. So there is the foreknowledge of God. And in that knowledge, God knows who is going to make it. By you, 1 Peter 2:9. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people called forth to show the praises of him who took you out of darkness into his glorious light. You who once were not a people, but are now a people. You are the people of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. He says, but ye are of God, little children. So you are of God. God is for you. I want you to know that. In every home, the children have a sense of belonging. Every home. Let us see you in your house. You do whatever you want. Sometimes you wear dresses that you will not wear outside in your house. You feel free. It is your house. You were not taught that this is your house. Nobody taught you that this is your father. Nobody taught you that this is your mother. But by the relationship and how they live with you from birth to now, you knowing without any iota of doubt that this is my father and this is my mother. Even so it is with God and us, that his relationship with us over the years and how he has taken care of us and how he has been there for us proves without any iota of doubt that God is our father. But God has a question, and his question is, what's happening to my child? Because every child is expected to grow. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 88, he says, but the child grew in spirit and in might. Luke chapter 2, verse number 40, he speaks, the first one was talking about John the Baptist. The second one speaks about Jesus Christ. He said that he grew in wisdom and in stature. Luke 2:40, and the child grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Children grow. So what is happening to this child of God? You see, in the Christian race, the penalty for not growing is greater. The loss you suffer if you do not grow, it will be better to go through the pains of growing. And I'm going to show it to you. You see, I gave a scripture in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 9, just to help explain why, to make it better for you to know that you're a child of God, because people still don't appreciate this. Where's Namie? She said, any child around? Get me Namie. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 9. Now, John the Baptist is baptizing people. John the Baptist is preaching a gospel of repentance. And then all of a sudden, the Pharisees, who think that they are the seed of Abraham, begin to walk pompously to the place. And they didn't even want to be part of what was going on. And John made a profound statement. He said in Matthew 3:9, and do not think to say to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up seed or children unto Abraham from these stones. So obviously there were some stones there. Sit down, my dear. There were some stones there. And he's saying that God is able to raise children unto Abraham from stones. If God is able to raise children of promise from stones, then it is not erroneous to think that Gentile believers like us have been converted from the realm of slavery into the realm of sons, because he could do the same thing with stones. So you are a true child of God. It has to be your head. Now, this is a beautiful young girl called Nyamiye. Please come. Now Nyamiye's father is here. I want you to tell me the first reaction of Nyamiye's father when Nyamiye stand on this thing and is about to fall. Father, what will you do? Hey, do it. I'm going to throw her. Hurry up. You saw the way he ran. Now, what will be the reaction of the father again when somebody comes and holds the neck of this man, this lady? You see the way he held my hand. Even though I'm the preacher, you see the way he held my hand, he has to take it off. Now, fathers have an innate desire to see their children do well. Hallelujah. Now, I've been a father for a few, just a couple of months. Yeah, I think 1 year is gone for the first one. Grace. I tell you as God's servant, even if we sinners know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more God? So for mommy gave birth last year and gave birth this year. Grace. Your miracle would defy medical science. And I tell you, and I know what to do, but I'm going to ask you as a father, and the answer will be very spontaneous. Will you die for this girl?
Definitely.
Now, those of you have been fathers for long, I realize that, God forbid, but should it come to that place, I won't think twice. So as I looked at my little girl, then I appreciated John 3:16. Then I realized the scriptures was not a lie. For God so loved the world that he gave. It was not a lie. There is not, ask those who have been blessed to have. It's not a question of will I or will I not. No. I think in the U.S. recently there was a plane crash into a certain apartment. And a woman with two children were there. Actually, they all died. But when they were taking away the rush, you know, the rubbish and all that, they saw that the woman was lying on the two children like that. Such is the love of the Father. Children, don't ask thank you, Mr. and Miss. God, children don't go asking, Daddy, can I have some bread? They take it. Now, you have everything as a child. And I told you, Luke chapter 15, verse number 11 to 32. We read about the story of a prodigal son. There were two sons in the house. One is called prodigal. Fine. No problem. But I taught you that he had a better revelation than his bigger brother. Why? You see, the younger one came to the father and said, give me the portion of goods that pertain to me. Child of God, I have good news for you. You have a special allotment of goods in heaven for you. Oh. And nobody can lay claim to it. It is yours. As a matter of fact, God, in all his omnipotence, cannot deny you that thing because you are his child. You see, the only thing, as I'll be teaching later, is that you cannot get when you are still immature. I'll surprise you today with the word of the Lord. What a shock. What can we learn from the big brother? Verse 25 and 26, Luke 15.
Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant.
The older son did not have an intimate relationship with his father. Are you a child? What's happening to my child? Do you know what prayerlessness is? Do you know where I actually got this sermon from? It was looking at my little girl. And I realized that I also am God's child. And the way she can stand in a couch and just walk on the couch, not caring whether she will fall down, because she knows that the father is going to hold her. It is the same way God is ready. I said, even if you have messed up, oh yeah, wipe yourself, oh, because your Father is still waiting for you. The gospel of grace is so powerful that it challenges the theology of critics. I tell you, he said the righteous have fallen 7 times, but he will still rise up. Your Father is waiting for you after your mess. Get up, wipe yourself, and go home. You are your Father's child. End of discussion. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. He knows. Don't use this as an occasion to stay in sin. But I tell you that if you are overcome, get up. He's still waiting for you. The older guy did not have an intimate relationship with his father. When there was noise, music in your house, I beg you, Bible is so practical. There is music in your house, your father's house. What's the first thing to do? You will enter. He didn't. He stood outside and called servants. What's happening there? What's happening in the house? And then they said, your brother has come. And your father is throwing a big party for him. Look at the next characteristics of this brother. He did not have the spirit of the house. Say, what a shock. He was a dangerous son. He did not flow with the general mood of the house. So it is in the house of God. There are people here who don't have the spirit of the church. Bishop Dark says they have an independent spirit. Independent spirit. Because if he had the spirit of the house, he would have also been in expectation for the return of the younger son. But he didn't. He didn't have the spirit of the house at all, so he didn't really care. He didn't even know that the father was always waiting for him to come. All right? He didn't. Verse number 28.
But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him.
The next thing is that he became angry and decided to sleep outside. He didn't even enter the house. Why? He started complaining. Started complaining. He made such a scene that it was his father who came outside and said, I beg you, come inside. I'll make reference to all this. He thought working hard in the field would give him his inheritance, something he qualified for by birth. Number 5. The father, if you have noticed the scriptures, the father obviously didn't bother to invite him for the party. They just went on with the party. Because probably the father knew the spirit he had and knew that he would not be even happy or excited that his brother was back. What spirit do you have in you? Are you a true child? If you are, then what's happening to God's child? He kept a record of all the good he had done and had never messed up. And he compared himself. When his brother came, he said, this is your son. This loyal guy. This is your son. That's how he talked to his father by his brother. This is your son has wasted your money. And you have thrown a party for him. And me, I have kept the commandments. I have never transgressed them. And you have not given me a little goat. He was jealous of his younger brother. And number 31, he did not know what he had. He did not know. He didn't know that everything in the house was for him. He didn't know. As a child of God, you have an inheritance. Psalm number 16 verse 5 to 6 says, oh Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. You know what? We have great inheritance. Our inheritance is of God. Your inheritance is not silver gold. Your inheritance is the Lord himself. You see, the silver and gold, Isaiah 1:19 says that if ye be willing, ye shall eat the good of the land. So your silver and gold is just a byproduct of, of your obedience. But your real inheritance or portion, Numbers chapter 18, verse number 20. Your real inheritance or portion is the Lord himself. Numbers 18, verse 20.
Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Amen.
The Lord said to Aaron, you will have no inheritance in their land. I am your portion. There are a lot of scriptures. I just want you to write them down. Job 22, 25. Psalm 142, verse 5. So Job 22, 25 says, yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your silver. Psalm 142, verse number 5. I cried unto you, O Lord, I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Jeremiah 10, 16, just write them down. The portion of Jacob is not like them. Say, my portion is not like them. Say, my portion is not like them. For he is the maker of all things. Your portion is the maker of all things. Hallelujah. So your portion is not really silver or gold. Your portion is the Lord himself. Hallelujah. But children grow. So what is really happening to you? I quoted scriptures to support that. David said in Psalm 37 verse 25, I have been young. And now I am old. Children are expected to grow. The natural development of a child is from birth. You become a baby. You grow into a childhood. And then you get into adulthood. Alright. But many of us still remain at the level of babyhood. Many of us still remain at the level of babyhood. God expects us to grow, but many of us still remain at the level of babyhood. Have you seen a 20-year-old infant or toddler? Are you still a baby or you are growing up? 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Babies are expected to grow. What is happening to you? Characteristics of babies. Number one. Dependence. They have to be fed every day by somebody. They cannot eat on their own. Have you seen a baby 2 days old sitting down eating fufu on his own? Taking breakfast, lunch, and supper? No. If you don't feed that baby, he's going to die. Such are babies in the Lord. Can you feed yourself 3 square meals from God's word? Or you have to depend on men of God and seers to feed you? Second characteristics of babies, they cry for everything. If they want food, they cry. If they poo-poo, they cry. If they pee-pee, they cry. Everything, they cry. Check yourself. There are babies amongst us. The least thing you do, hey! The least thing you do in church, hey! Babies, number three, are irritable. Anything, any small thing irritates them. We are in church. Somebody stepped on your toe. Asa, you get so irritated. I came here to give you the unpalatable truth. You are a baby and you have to grow. Say, I will grow. Number four, babies are unsteady, inconsistent. You see them at church today, you don't see them tomorrow. They come and then they go after, they come back in 2-3 weeks time. Babies are unsteady. Have you seen a baby trying to walk before, for the first time, it's as if he's on the moon. The legs are open like that, and go there, he falls down. You don't have any steady gait. You have to remain planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. So babies are unsteady. Babies are irritable. Check yourself. There's somebody in the choir. There's somebody in your micro church. They're listening. He gets annoyed. They're listening. He's irritated. I called a few people who we don't see at church today. And will I see you next week? Oh, I'm not sure, Pastor. Babies are foolish. Babies don't know how to think. Babies are tossed to and fro. Point number five. Babies love amusement. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 5. I will let us read it. They love amusement. They hear there is a prophet here. There is signs and wonders. Babies run there. They hear that there is Odifo here, here. They run there. Babies love. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 5. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Say boys and girls. Boys and girls play in the streets. When you see them, they are playing ampe in the streets. These are children. They want to play pilolo. They want to play games on the streets. Those are children. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14 said that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. Say, my heart shall be established by grace. That's such a profound word. You don't need to be tossed to and fro. You don't need to follow every new thing that comes around. Your heart needs to be established by grace. Amen. Amen. You see, the dangers of remaining a baby in Christianity are these. Galatians chapter number 4, verse 1. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master over all. We're going to read that one to 7, so get ready. He says that as long as you remain a child, a baby, you are not different from a slave. Failure to grow means that even though you are the child of the king, you will live your life as a slave. Slaves don't get any inheritance. Slaves beg to eat, but the children just reach and take. Even though you own everything, because you are not growing up, your father can't release your inheritance to you. What would you do if your 8-year-old son came to you and said, mommy, I need the car keys, I have a date? Your 8-year-old son came to you and said to you, daddy, can I get the key to your Prado because I have a date? Your 8-year-old son. I want to know what you will do to that boy. Will you give it to him? No. He will be lucky to go home without a knock. Bring pastor to the front. Bring him to him. He will be lucky to go home without a knock. But your decline to giving him that is birthed out of love rather than like a punishment or neglect. Because you know that he cannot drive that car and he's going to die. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. You are asking God for certain things, but you have not grown in him yet. And just as you will not give your 10-year-old child a car key and $1,000 to go and have fun with the ladies, so would God not give you what you deserve if you are still a child. Galatians 4:1 says, the heir to the throne, as long as he remains a child. You see, the more you delay in childhood, the more you are going to live as a slave, even though you qualify for everything. Bible says in verse 2, but is put under tutors and governors till he comes to maturity or of age. Hallelujah. So let's go back to Luke 15. There were two sons. One of them, when he asked for the inheritance, his father gave it to him. One of them, his father never gave anything to him, even though he had everything. So what is this? It means that the younger son appeared matured than the older one. He said, give me my inheritance. And the man just gave it to him. Galatians 4:1 says that as long as you remain a child, you will not be given your inheritance till you mature. So his messing up was probably due to bad company. But he was matured enough that when he asked his father for his inheritance, he was going to give it to him. But the older one, even though older, he never had anything, even though the father said everything was his. Now the reason why he was a child but still living as a slave was because he was a child. I'll say it better. The reason why, even though an heir, a prince, but he still lived as a slave. He was in the field. He was working with the servants. The reason why he didn't have anything was that he was still a baby. And why is he a baby? You could see the verse number 27. That was when he came and there was music in the house, he was angry. He started talking. Babies complain. Babies are angry at everything. I've been with you all these years. You didn't give me anything. Tell your neighbor, stop being a baby. Let us mature. When he came home, the Bible says he did not even enter the house. He stayed outside till his father came for him. But the other one who messed up, he left America where he had gone, or Dubai, and ran back home. He entered the house in his sin. I came here to announce to you, don't be a baby in the Lord. Because the longer you remain a baby, the more years you will live as a slave. But you own everything. You have everything. Say, I have everything. Now say one thing that I need to grow. Just at the Galatian scripture, and I'm going to be closing there. I'm going to be closing there. He says, even so, verse number 3, Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem us, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. Two things are here. He says that children, and the other one says sons. The Greek word there is nepios, that is babies, minor, people who cannot speak, people who are immature. He says, so long as we remain babies, so long as we remain nepios, people who are simple-minded, people who are immature, then we will be like slaves. But when he talked about the adoption as sons, we were matured already, and the Greek word there was hios, that meant an adult son. An older child, a king. So, Galatians 4 talks about children and sons. They are different. All of us are sons of God. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman. The Bible says in Christ, there is neither male nor female. But then, there are classes. There are those who are still children. When you give a baby milk for 1 year, the baby will grow. We are giving you milk, but you are not growing. Why? What is happening to my child? You know one of the reasons why evangelism is in decline? Because the people that we have already, they cannot grow. You see, you have to do so much work on them that if you don't take time, you'll not be able to go out and win souls to come inside. Because when we go and bring them, they are not feeding bottles to give to those babies. 20-year-old, and you have a feeding bottle on your mouth. Choco, still take it. 30-year-old Christian, and you are still wearing diapers. Babies are we. Babies. We need to go and bring them out from the world as babies and train them. But the cribs are full. There's no place to put them when they come. All the feeding bottles are still occupied. 20 years, you are still... seest thou a 20-year-old man with a feeding bottle on his mouth and diapers on the street, ye will conclude that he is mad. King James, or Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Seest thou a 30-year-old female with a feeding bottle in his mouth taking milk? 30-year-old with 32 teeth taking milk. It is an error. What is happening to God's child? We need to grow. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you still need someone to teach you again. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he's a baby. But solid food, verse 14, belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Our behavior is like the older son. He complained at everything. The longer you remain a baby, the longer you live like a slave. Hate being a child. Hate being a baby. Begin to grow. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food. But until now, you are still not able to receive solid food. I want you by 2015 to be able to receive solid food. Children are tossed to and fro. Children complain. You know who children are? When he got sick and the child didn't come, he stops church. That's a child. That's a baby in the Lord. Wipe yourself off your poo. Clean yourself. Change those diapers. Get some pull-ups and begin to grow. You've kept too long at this stage. There's a scripture, I think somewhere in Moses' writings, I know it in tree. He says, put in a higher day. Call him. What are you doing there? 15-year-old Christian, and you are still a baby. You cannot take solid food. Why? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Say, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But now that I'm old, I think differently. David says, Psalm 37, verse 25a. He said, I have been a child, and now I am old. We need to grow. Churches are full of 30, 40-year-old Christians still in diapers. You should be breaking bones. We should come to church. In fact, one day I told my father, I was young. I said, Pastor, Daddy, do you know that? I think the level of the pastors, that is where the Christians should be. And the pastors should be challenged to go further. But because the general Christian populace is so immature, any pastor can come and do some gimmicks and go away. Because we don't even read. Are you your father's child? Children are expected to grow. Begin to grow. Begin to grow. Let us see signs of growth. Let us see signs of growth. May we not send you text message before you come to church. You are still a baby. You are being reminded. If your mother doesn't get up to feed you, it means you will not eat. Hallelujah. Children are expected to grow. Amen. Lift up your right hand. I told you I will finish early. I'm training myself. Begin to talk to God. Children are expected to grow. Children are expected to grow. Even the pores you put on your face, they have changed over the years. But you are not growing. Begin to pray to God. Rise to your feet. What is happening to my child? Give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Can use me. hands.
Children are expected to grow. Examine yourself. Have you been growing? Or have you been the same over the years? Pastors, are we preaching better messages? Are we praying more? Leaders, are we growing? Are you really growing? Or you are just like, you are trapped. Baby, you are trapped as a baby. I want you to examine yourself and pray that God will release you and help you. A baby that's learning to walk will fall down. He may even get hurt. But if he walks, it's better than to remain crawling. Afford to remain a baby. You can't. You need to grow up in God. Babies are always complaining. Babies are always irritable. Paul said, when you are required to be teaching people, you still want us to teach you. Some of you should be matured enough to go and start new churches. But you are still here receiving because you are not growing. 20-year-old believers still wearing diapers. We need to grow. We need to grow. Please lift up your hands with all due respect. You are here, every eye closed, and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Or you want to say, Pastor, you know, I don't know God. I'm going to pray for you. The second group of people is you are here, and you say, I have examined myself. I want to grow. I want to begin growing. I want you to lift up your right hand if you are like that. You want to begin to grow up in the Lord. Just take some few steps forward and I will pray with you. It's a good song. Everything I need is you.
coming. Come because you have examined yourself.
I surrender.
Sing that song. It's a prayer. Everything I give to you.
You've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be part of our victory services every Sunday from 7 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Follow us on Twitter at @JJM_EC and like our Facebook page, JJM_EC. For further correspondence, email englishchapel@gmail.com. God bless you.